So we're going to read the section from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. And this is the section where Josh will preach from. So John chapter 1, 1 to 18. And in my Bible, it is has a heading, "The Word Became Flesh." John chapter 1, 1 to 18. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of his will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he whom I have said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known.'" This is God's inerrant word.
Well, good morning. This morning we start our Christmas sermon series. It's called Everlasting Light. And so that'll be this morning's sermon, and then the sermons on our Christmas Eve and Christmas Day services as well. So for all of these, we're going to be focusing on the Gospel of John, and we obviously just had a bit of that read. Thanks, Zach. We've read verses 1 to 18. We're going to be focusing this morning mostly on verses 4 to 12. So definitely keep your Bible open as we make our way through it. One of the great things about Christmas, I think, is that you often see plenty of Christmas lights all over the place. And the other night, Carolyn, my wife, and I, we decided that we'd drive through the city and have a look at some of the lights that have been put up. I got some photos of some of the lights that appeared there. There you go. Now, it was my first time going through the city at night in a while, but whoever had put up the lights, as you can see, they'd done a pretty good job. They were really bright and inviting. They stood out. You could spot them from ages, from far away. But as we made our way through the city in our car, sometimes slowly because of traffic, well, every now and then we pass a dark alleyway. Now, some of these alleyways were darker than others, and some so dark it was hard to see down them. You could make out a little bit, but then it was just all encompassing blackness. Now, I should say this picture behind me is not a shot of an actual alleyway in Perth, but it paints the picture for you, doesn't it? And it reminded me of a truth that I think everyone learns pretty early on in life. That is, don't go down dark alleyways at night. And dark alleyways will fill, I think, even the bravest of us with dread. And this is because it's a simple fact that a dark alleyway at night can be dangerous. If you enter, you don't know what's going to happen there. If you enter a dark alleyway, you're putting yourself in danger. And as we drove around, as Carolyn and I drove around, that truth was reflected in what we saw. Because though it was night, there were lots of people around, heaps of people in fact, but they were all sticking to the well-lit areas and no one was heading down dark alleys. Now, why is that truth so well reflected? I think it's because we know that it's better to be in the light than in the darkness. Better to be in the light than in the darkness. And the Apostle John, who's written the book that we've read this morning, he says something similar in the opening of his gospel. He talks about light, he talks about darkness, and he encourages us to think about and to recognize how important it is to be in one and not the other. It's all right there in verses 4 to 12 of chapter 1. Now, this light that he mentions is first mentioned there in verse 4. And straight away, well, we get a sense of just how vital this light really is. Because what's found in the light, or what resides in the light, John says, is life itself. So in verse 4, John writes this. He says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." What he's saying is that this light and life itself are one and the same. Where the light is, there life is as well. For John, life and light go together. And they go together in one person, the Lord Jesus. Now, why can John say this? Well, because this Jesus who he's talking about is also the one who created everything. He's the agent of creation, John says. He's the one through whom God created the entire universe. That's what verses 1 to 3 are all about. Now, we read this earlier on at the start of the service. Michael read it for us. You know what happens at the very start of the Bible, don't you? Genesis 1, verse 1. How does it go? It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's right. That's exactly right. The first verse of the Bible, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And the opening line of John's gospel, well, it tells us that Jesus was right there as that was happening, doing the creating. Okay, he's the reason the world exists, the universe exists today. Now, Carolyn and I, we head to Gelari in Applecross every now and then. I love ice cream, and Gelari make great ice cream, so it just works really well. But I also like going there because on the drive to Gelari, well, we go down some streets where they have a whole bunch of jacaranda trees planted down them. Now, you might have seen these trees before. You'll know that a jacaranda tree, you'll know what it is because when it's in full bloom in November and December, well, they burst into life with these bright purple flowers. Okay, that's what it looks like, the streets, when it's lit with jacaranda trees. Now, I asked Carolyn about this because she loves her gardening, her horticulture. She said the flowers are like little purple Canterbury bells. That's what they're like, brimming with colour. And when you get one after the other, after the other, after the other, like those streets in Applecross, I reckon it's like a sledgehammer to the eyes, but in a good way. But here's the thing. Those jacarandas, they didn't plant themselves, okay? They didn't bring themselves into existence. No, they were planted by someone, weren't they? Someone took great care to place them in exactly those positions so that they look as they do today. And that's why they're there, and that's why I get to enjoy them. And John says that because of Jesus, the same is true. And not just with jacarandas, but with the entire universe. Now, the only reason any of it is here is because Jesus put it here. He was the one through whom it was carefully brought into existence. And so that's why John can say about him that in him was life. Because he is where life comes from. He's the reason why you and I are here today. He's the reason why we went from nothing to everything. He created everything, so he is the source of life itself. Now, that's a great thing to know. Right? It's a great, a wonderful bit of information. But if that's all that Jesus had done, if all he had done is created everything and then sat back like a watchmaker who starts the clock and then leaves it to do its thing, well, that would be nice. But it wouldn't ultimately mean anything for us. That's not the case, though, with Jesus. See, John says this one who created everything didn't then just leave it to run on its own. No, he says this light has a purpose. This light is not something Jesus is keeping to himself. No, the light of Christ, John says, is for us. Okay, he is for us. He is the light of men, the light of humanity. He's the light for us. He isn't some aloof deity sitting in the clouds doing his own thing. No, his purpose is to shine the light of life on us. But that begs the question, so what? Why does that matter? Why does it matter that he is for us? Well, John answers, it matters because our world is full of darkness, and you and I live in that darkness. Now, if Jesus is the light, then it matters for us because we live in the darkness. And that's just what it was like at creation. Okay, verse 2 of Genesis 1, what does it say? Before God created anything, what was it like? It says this, that darkness was over the face of the deep. Before any of this existed, there was only darkness. And what was God's first act of creation? What was the very first thing he did? Verse 3 of Genesis 1. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, do you see that? Before anything was created, only darkness. And then light entered into that darkness to bring about new life, to create, to make exist what was not there before. So why would John tell us about this light? Because without the light, there's only darkness. And you and I live in that darkness. Now that's why John writes in verse 4 that Jesus is the light of men, but then says immediately after in verse 5 that light is shining in the darkness, because that's where we are. Jesus, the light, is shining on us, and we're in the darkness. Now, initially, the world was full of light, just the way God had made it. But then, as you know from the creation story, when Adam and Eve took that fruit from the tree in the Garden of Eden, well, the world as we know it was blanketed in darkness, a spiritual darkness. And just like being in a dark alleyway puts us in danger, so too does being in spiritual darkness. It puts us in danger because being in that spiritual darkness means we are separated from God. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If Jesus is the light of life, but we choose to remain in the darkness, well, then we're cut off from that life, aren't we? Now, the word that we use to speak of this, the word the Bible uses to speak of this, is sin or rebellion. It's when we say no to God and to ourselves, yes. It's when we put ourselves in the place of God, when we make ourselves into gods rather than allowing him to be God over us. And that's what puts us in danger. And not just because if I consider myself to be God and you consider yourself to be God, then when we interact, who's actually going to be God? Who's going to come out on top if we both think we're God? But isn't that why we have so many problems relating to one another as people? Because we're all saying, I'm God, not you. Now, Carolyn and I were at the shops this week, and we're getting Christmas presents, and Carolyn had gone to a particular store to get something. While she was there, she noticed two separate groups of people trying to steal items from that store. When one of those groups, a mother-daughter, was confronted by the manager, the daughter, who was a teenager, struck the manager in the face. And then they bolted with the goods before the police could come. And you might be thinking, that's wild, right? That is wild. Who would do something like that? But underneath that extreme reaction, well, it's the same thing we're talking about. It's living in the darkness. It's sin. It's remaining in the alleyway. And you say, hold on, Josh, I would never do something like that. And certainly, I hope none of us would. But underneath that extreme reaction, aren't we all doing exactly the same thing? We're all saying, I'm God, not you. So if I don't get what I want, I'll take it by force. And we all do that. We might be much more subtle and not as blatantly obvious as the example I just gave. We might be better at hiding it, at not letting others know what we're doing. But we all do it. And God knows what we're doing, doesn't he? Now, the Bible says this is our default setting, to live life saying, I'm God, not you, and certainly not the one who is God. And that's why it's so dangerous. Because to stay in the darkness, to stay in that dark alleyway, to remain in sin, means we end up separated from Jesus. Did you ever, as a kid, I don't know, maybe, did you ever play this game where, like, there's a sand pit and you're pretending that the sand is quicksand or lava or like a giant chasm, and you try to jump over it and like escape with your life? Maybe that's just me. But I'll tell you what, whenever I did play this imaginary game as a kid, I always played it during the day. Like, I never tried to jump over large gaps at night. Okay? Because to do that at night in the darkness when you can't see where the quicksand, where the chasm is, as a kid, that was suicide. Right? I only ever end up in the quicksand, in the chasm when it's dark. And that's why it's dangerous to live in spiritual darkness, to live in sin, to stay in sin. Because we only end up stuck and forever separated from Jesus, the light of life. Now, there's a reason that Jesus himself describes that separation in this way. And here's a quote from the Gospel of Matthew. This is from one of his parables. He says, "Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, Jesus is using metaphor here. But the point's clear, isn't it? He's using the idea of darkness to tell us what life is like without him. It's like that dark alleyway. It's not a place that you want to remain in. And it's here where we reach the main thrust of John's opening argument in these early verses of his gospel. It's here where we get the good news. It's here, I think, where we see what Christmas is really all about. And it's this: we may live in the darkness, but Jesus has come to shine light into our dark world. He has come to shine light into our lives so that we no longer have to live in spiritual darkness. Now read with me from verse 9 of the first chapter. "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." The true light, John says, the true light has come. Now, the Christmas story is not the story of the baby in a manger, is not some nice sentimental story to make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. A Christmas story isn't here so that we have another reason to get together with family. It's not here because so that we have another reason to spend our money on buying gift vouchers for each other and toys for the kids. No, the Christmas story, according to John, is to tell us that the light of life has come. The light of life has entered into our dark world, has entered into the darkness of my life to bring light and new life. And for people living in darkness like us, there's no better news than that. Why is that such good news? Because it means you don't have to stay in the darkness. Have you seen what happens to a person when they experience this, when they go through this, when they come into the light of Christ? I remember seeing it in a close friend of mine at high school. This friend I'd known for a long time, they grew up in a Christian home, but as they reached towards the end of high school, he showed less and less interest in all the things he'd been taught about Jesus. He fell in with the wrong crowd. He became one of the guys that was happy to break the rules, keen on drinking and partying. And then I didn't see him for a little while as school ended. But I'll never forget seeing him again a few years after that. Because it was then that I got a sense that his life had changed quite dramatically. Now, gone was the guy with attitude. Gone was the rebel, the drinker, the partier. Gone was the guy who did all he could to be seen as cool in the eyes of others. In his place was a guy who spent a lot of his time talking about Jesus. I remember going on a camp with him and a bunch of other young guys, some Christians, some not. We'd gone up north past Lanceland for some camping and surfing and fishing. And in the middle of this weekend, while we were sitting around the fire having dinner, he announces he's going to give a short talk about Jesus. Just like that. It floored me. I couldn't believe it. The friend I knew from high school would never have done that. He was the one who mucked around and caused trouble in Bible class. And now he was giving a Bible talk. It was like he'd become a completely new person. And that was exactly what had happened. He had become a completely new person because he'd come to the light, or rather, the light of life had come to him. He had believed in the name of Jesus, and as a result, he'd gone from living in the darkness to living in the light. He'd been brought out of the dark alleyway and into the well-lit street. And the same one who had created everything new at the beginning of time had now made him new. He had made exist what was not there before, a new life, a new person, now living in the light of the Lord Jesus. That is what is on offer for us as we think about the real meaning of Christmas. And the way that becomes a reality, the way we get to experience that, the way we take up that offer, John says, is by having faith in Jesus. You see, we can't bring ourselves out of the darkness. No, it has to be done for us. We must be brought into the light by Jesus. And here's the good news. Here's the big news. Jesus achieved that for us just 33 years after that first Christmas night, when the baby in the manger became the man on the cross. Now there he took all our sin, all the darkness and damage we caused by wanting to be our own God. He took that and he bore it on himself. And though, as John said, so many rejected him, and though countless numbers of people continue to reject him today and live in darkness, well, for those who do trust in Jesus and what he's achieved on the cross, for those of us who do believe in his name, Jesus brings us into the light and gives us new life. Now, this is what Christmas is really about, that you can live in the light rather than in the darkness if you place your trust in Jesus. And that's how John describes it in verse 12. That for all those who believe in Jesus' name, no matter how long you might have been living in the darkness, for all who trust in Jesus, he gives the right to be called children of God. Now, have you ever been to King's Park at night? It can get quite dark there. I don't know if you've been at night. It does get quite dark. Now, I don't mean when I think of this, I'm not thinking about where all the war memorials are overlooking the city. That area is usually well lit. Now, I'm thinking of May Drive Parkland. If you've got small kids, you've probably been there. It used to be called Synergy Parkland. It's quite a bit further into King's Park. Here's a picture of it during the day. I sourced this from Google Maps. And you can see it's a little bit hard to make out, but in the background there's a big play area for the kids. And it's all surrounded by trees, looks very nice. But if you do a 180 from that spot, and here's what I'm thinking of. If you do a 180 from that spot, then you're staring straight at, I think, the most scary part of the park. Okay, so here's a shot of it during the day when it's bright and sunny. Now, I tried to find a shot of this part of the park at night, but there are no lights running in the park at night, so it's pitch black. And I think I can say with confidence that no one's going out there then to take photos. So I want you to imagine this part of the park. Okay, imagine that it's night and you are there. You're in that part of the park. You can see in the trees along the drive, they have these little dedication plaques to soldiers and to families. As a kid, I used to think they looked like small tombstones. You don't have your phone with you, so you can't easily flip out your phone to turn on your torch. So it's just you and the suffocating darkness. The wind is howling, the trees swish back and forth, creating restless shadows in the darkness. The moon's nowhere to be found, and it's so dark you can't see your own hand in front of your face. Now suddenly, in the distance, you notice something small piercing the blackness. You keep staring at it, it gets bigger and bigger. It's a light, it's a flashlight. As it gets closer, soon you see the man holding it. It's one of the security guards from the park. He works there. He says, "I know the area well, and all you need to do is follow me, and I can lead you back to the safety of the well-lit areas." What are you going to do at that point? You've got two options, don't you? Either you can stay in the dark and hope for the best, or you can follow the one with the light to safety. That's a no-brainer, isn't it? So, as Christmas rolls around again for another year, it's worth asking the question, where are you right now? Are you walking in the light with the Lord Jesus? Or are you stumbling around in the dark on your own? The story here in the early part of John's Gospel is that the light that shines in the darkness of our world, that light has come. He came 2,000 years ago and achieved on the cross what we could never hope to do ourselves. He brought us new life by giving up his own. And if we trust in him, in what he's done, we get to become God's own children. Now, if that's you this morning, if you're already walking in the light of life with Jesus, praise God. There's no better place to be than that. Let's remember that and be thankful for that this Christmas. In the hustle and bustle of get-togethers with family and friends and church services and shopping and meal prep and rest and relaxation from work. When the kids are fighting, when things go wrong, whatever happens, let's remember how great we have it because of Jesus. But if you're here this morning and you recognize you're still in spiritual darkness, you're still in the dark alleyway rather than the well-lit street, well, the news this morning is that you don't have to stay there. It's infinitely better to be in the light than in the dark, because that is where real life is with Jesus. So if that's you, you think that's you this morning, today would be a great day to move places. Today would be a great day to place your trust in Jesus, to believe in his name. And so I'm going to pray now along those lines. And if you'd like to, I encourage you to pray along with me silently. But let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that Jesus, the light of life, entered into our world. And I thank you that he brought light into darkness, that he made it possible for sinful humans like me to enter into new life with him. Father, I pray that you would forgive me. Forgive me for wanting to be God in your place. Help me to trust in Jesus, believing that he paid the price for my sin in his death on the cross. Please bring me from spiritual darkness into new life with Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.